Like the song we just sang, the ancient words from long before, continue to ring out true. We can have New Year's resolutions, and we can promise to do this, we promise to do that. But it is the Word of God that has endured through the ages. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already reached the goal, or am I already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. We come to this time of year, 2011. We have made probably our New Year's resolutions, okay? And we make all these promises with great amounts of optimism, okay? But really, usually by the second week of January, we've forgot what we promised to do or even thought about what we were going to do. Let's be honest. How many of you kept your diet? Okay. How many of you actually kept going to the gym past February? Well, that's good. So I'm not the only one, am I? I've determined I'm going to be different this year. And I've made a couple of New Year's resolutions that I know I'm going to be able to keep the whole of 2011, okay? And here they are. First, I've decided to eat more and exercise less. And I have decided that I am going to smile at the first person that I see in that mirror every morning. Okay. Now, I may not be able to keep those resolutions, and it really doesn't make a great difference in my life, except to perhaps increase my waist size by several inches. This morning, in contrast, I really want to talk to you about some resolutions or some commitments which I guarantee will make a radical difference in our lives if we follow them through. And in fact, what I want to do is offer to you a way of starting the new year, which can significantly change your life. And here's what I'm going to suggest to you. If you will make four commitments to God in His Word, and we talked about the ancient words that live forever, encourage you. These words will encourage you, and I'll guarantee you that the start of 2011 could become one of the most significant events in your life. Now, New Year's, instead of simply just being talking, you know, the few days off, if we will follow God's advice, we could, in a way, be a gateway to have a better life. And I want to challenge you to make these four commitments for this new year. Now, here they are. Number one, commit yourself to forget your failures. Over 2,000 years ago, Paul gave this advice, and I just read from that, but it says, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenwards into Christ Jesus. That word of God has stood the test of time. I don't know of any more relevant or practical advice for us to start 2011. Look forward, strain forward, forget the past, okay? God is here, God is in our lives, so that you will not, and we will not have to be imprisoned by the past. All of us have failed in some way in our lives in the past year. Now, probably we won't see our failures recorded in history on TV, but we are recorded in our own hearts and our own minds, if we're honest with ourselves. For many of us, our failures are painful memories. Maybe for you it's a memory of how you failed in a relationship. You made the wrong decisions and did wrong things, and the relationship ended. Some of you who are parents probably know that you have failed your children in some way. Many of us are aware that we have failed our parents and it's more likely that many of us know that most of us have failed ourselves in some way. What God's word is saying is that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down by our past failures. That we don't have to dwell on the past, because it stops us from moving forward in the future that God has for us. I think that the start of the new year is a good time for us to rise to that challenge. To say to yourself, I'm going to, with the help of God, forget my past. I'm going to stop torturing myself about what I did or didn't do. This new year is a good time to stop being chained to your past failures. God is saying here in His Word that He doesn't want you to go through your life branding yourself as a failure. On the cross, Jesus died so that we could live. When we become Christians on purpose, and notice I say on purpose, that forgiveness becomes a reality in our lives. When we have received Christ's forgiveness, it allows us to forgive ourselves and forget our failures. Do you need to do that? Right here this morning, do you need to accept Jesus' forgiveness and then forgive yourself? Number two, commit yourself to give up your grudges. These words come from the book of Colossians, because you'll hear the second challenge that I believe God wants us to rise to make a significant difference in your life for 2011. Bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Did you catch that challenge? Forgive as the Lord forgave us. God in those words is challenging you directly and personally to give up those grudges. What he means, he says you need to forgive each other, whatever grievances they may be. What's a grudge? A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that will cultivate in our hearts against someone else. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit that leads to unforgiving attitudes and unforgiving actions. Now, I know you know what I'm talking about when you think about a grudge. Harboring a grudge is about nursing a dislike for someone. What you need to know that is grudges are dangerous because they are destructive. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. And grudges split churches. Yes, they split the churches too. And let's be honest enough to admit that sometimes they hurt the deepest when Christians hold a grudge against one another. Today, if you know you're holding a grudge against someone, then God has something has to say to you. Give it up. Just give it up. I want to remind you that grudges are not destructive. They are also self-destructive. When you hold a grudge against someone, you will hurt yourself as much and perhaps even more than you hurt the person that you're holding the grudge for. Make no mistake about it. If you keep harboring a grudge, then it will eventually destroy you. If not physically, certainly emotionally and spiritually. It will make you a bitter and twisted person. In the book of Job, in chapter 21, people are described as those who have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Do you really want that to be on your epitaph? How many of you remember the parable about Jesus that told about forgiving a huge debt to one of his own, was forgiven of the debt by this king? And then this person turned around and there was this tiny debt against him and he wouldn't forgive it. And Jesus says this unforgiving spirit will land you in prison. Max Lucado made this interesting comment in one of his books. He says, unforgiving servants always end up in prison. And I'm not talking about the walls of a prison. I'm talking about the prisons of anger, guilt, and depression. God says to each and every one in his word, don't sentence yourself to prison. set yourself free. Give up your grudges. Forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. According to God's word, the way to give up a grudge is to forgive a grievance. Notice what God's really saying here. He isn't saying that we need to ignore whatever the person has done to you. He isn't asking you to pretend it didn't happen. He doesn't ask you to condone it. He doesn't ask you to pretend it didn't matter. What God is asking us to do is forgive the grievance. That means to acknowledge how wrong and painful it was, but forgive the person that did the wrong to you. I am absolutely certain that there are people here who need to give up those grudges and forgive the grievance that they have against someone else. Some of you need to forgive the grievance you have against your parents for what they did or didn't do. Some of you need to forgive your children for the same reason. Some of you need to forgive a partner for emotional or physical abuse. Some of you need to give up the grudge you have against someone at work because of the way they have treated you. Some of you need to give up the grudge that stems from an argument you had with someone. Some of us need to give up grudges that we have against other people in this own congregation. God says that the deep-seated resentment you have against that person has to go. What better time to make that difficult decision to forgive than the start of a new year? Now, don't tell God you can't forgive, because what you're really saying is you won't forgive. If Christ can forgive your sin despite it involving the pain of the cross, then surely each and every one of us can give up a grievance that we have with someone else. The question is, we need to ask ourselves, will we do it? Number three, commit yourself to restore your relationships. I don't know about you, but every time I turn on a computer, a window will pop up and says it's going to run a program so it's going to work more efficiently or work more properly, okay? God is issuing the same kind of invitation. He's not asking us to check our computers, okay, but he's asking us to check out whether our personal relationships are working properly. In Romans 12:18, it says, if it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The important phrase through that is, as far as it depends on you. God, by using that phrase, is personally challenging each and every one of us to do what we can to restore relationships. The Lord wants us to do everything that we can to restore any relationships that have gone wrong in our lives. Some relationships we don't have control over. You know, they may have gone wrong because of what other people have done, and, you know, quite frankly, they don't really want to restore that relationship. But if you refer back to the Roman scripture I just read, God is saying, If it's possible. But we need to be honest. Some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done, haven't we? Right? When God says here in that verse, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, it is saying if you have caused or if we have caused a rift in a relationship, then we have the responsibility to do everything you can to restore it. That everything includes one thing we all are probably the most difficult at doing, and that's asking for forgiveness. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. It said, but am I the only person that the hardest words to say is I'm sorry to people? To the people that I'm the closest to. I hope I'm not the only one. I wonder how many marriages represented here are not all that they should be or could be simply because someone won't say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, or will you forgive me? I am certain that some of us who are married need to ask forgiveness for harsh words and cutting remarks that have really wounded our partners over the years. Maybe God is saying to some of you that this change of the year is the right time to restore that relationship we may have ruined by going and sincerely saying that you're sorry for some of those angry words, some of those selfish comments. and unthoughtful actions. Keith Drury, a Wesleyan, a writer for the Wesleyan Church, talked about restoring relationships, and he talked about it in a way of restitution. And what he says, restitution deals with more than property. It's also going back and making things right for hurtful things I've said or done. It's far easier for me to tell a story about something difficult than basically going to my wife and say, you know, I'm sorry for any harm that I've caused you. Or going to a boss or a friend and say, please forgive me if I've said anything out of the way that may have hurt you. Restitution is asking forgiveness for those harsh words, quick tongue, or cutting remarks. It's asking forgiveness from a brother you've hurt, a mother you've caused heartache to, a former spouse with which you malign. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from an old business partner, neighbor, or roommate. It is admitting my past errors in relationships and humbly seeking forgiveness from the one I've hurt. And it's harder to make personal restitution than property restitution. You have to admit, it's easy sometimes to sign a check and get money out of a wallet, but to go up and make that personal restitution is very difficult. Make no mistake, it is hard to do, but it could be one of the most significant things you can do to mark the new year. More than any fireworks that you may set off, we need to admit any past errors in relationship and humbly ask forgiveness for the one we've hurt. Will you rise to the challenge and make a commitment to restore that broken relationship in this new year? Number 4, commit yourself to turn your back on your transgressions. After the Civil War and the slaves had been set free, many of the slaves decided to stay with their former masters and continue to do what they were told. They were set free, but they chose to live the life of a slave. The New Testament says that Christians are a lot the same way in how we live. Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. But just like those former slaves, we continue to obey our old master, sin. From Romans 6, it says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. We are no longer slaves to sin. This is the last challenge that I believe, if you will rise to meet, will make this new year truly significant to you. When God says, don't let sin control the way you live, do not give in to its lustful desires, he is issuing each of us a challenge to turn your back on those transgressions. Christian writers have talked about something called besetting sins. What they are particular sins that a particular Christian is prone to do, but they won't let go of it. Okay, they'll do almost everything else, but there might be a certain sin that's still in their lives and they won't let go. That's a besetting sin. And many of us are just like that. We choose to give in to that besetting sin and end up living, if you will, a double lives. I'm guilty of that. And that can sum up a Christian attitude, or these besetting sins. They won't do anything about it, and they learn to live with it. The question I would ask is your spiritual life crippled because you have learned to live with a besetting sin? Do you have a quick temper that you constantly give into, or a caustic tongue that loves to assassinate other people's characters or wound their feelings? Have you learned to live with the critical judgment attitude you know is wrong? Is there a sexual sin that you keep on giving into? God in His Word, challenge you to turn your back on that sin, whatever it is, to stop letting us control our lives. Stop giving in to it. He wants us to stop obeying that old master, sin. And one thing to be clear about, Jesus' death broke the power of sin. The Holy Spirit can give us the power to resist sin, and all that means is that you don't have to go into this new year still being defeated by that same old sin. You can have the victory over it. God says you are no longer a slave to sin, so don't live like it or act like it. If you will ask for God's forgiveness for your sin and his power to resist that sin, then this millennium can be not just a new era in history, but a new era in your spiritual life. Don't miss that opportunity. It all boils down to this. Will this new year be just a calendar changing event for you? Or are you willing to rise to these challenges from God's work and make these commitments and so make it a life-changing event? Are you willing to make these commitments, four commitments for 2011? Will you commit yourself to forget your failures? Will you commit yourself to give up your grudges? Will you commit yourself to restore your relationships? Will you commit yourself to turning your back on your transgressions? This new year can really be something to celebrate if you will make forgiveness the heart of what it's all about for you. Now, do you have the courage to do right there today, make these commitments to forgive yourself and forget the past, to forgive others who have hurt you and forgive whatever grievance you have with them, to ask for forgiveness for those who have hurt or you have hurt with the statement, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, and finally, to ask for God's forgiveness and no longer be a slave of sin.